Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate. Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. And tonight, my co-host is Leo Laveza. I love that name.
Thank you. It's hard to change it.
I can't do that with Drew Tignanelli, you know? I can do that with Leo Laveza.
You got too many syllables in there.
I think I do. So anyway, Leo, we're on an open show tonight. You know what that means? That means our listeners are our guests, and they get to determine the conversation and the direction of the conversation. So one person calls in, they take us this direction. Another person calls in, they take us that direction. But they're getting the information that's most helpful to them, and that's what we're looking to do. That's what we're here to help you with, answer any question dealing with your personal finances, be it income taxes or estate planning or insurances or investments or IRAs, Medicare, Social Security, college planning. If it has to do with your personal finances, then we're here to help you. And if you want to call in and ask your question to lead the direction of the conversation, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680 is the way to call in and direct that conversation. Like we always like to say, Leo, the people that call in the earliest, they're the ones that get the most time. The ones that wait until later on in the show to start calling in, all of a sudden you got two, three, four calls backed up, and you got to try to rip through them. So call in now, early, and get your question answered. You'll get the most time to be able to discuss that, 410-922-6680. So, Leo, I'm assuming nobody's online at this point in time.
Not yet. They just want to listen to us talk to each other for now.
So you had a topic. What's your topic you want to talk about?
We had a client yesterday talk about they're worried about a housing bubble and the bubble bursting soon. So,
Well, that's an easy one. There is no housing bubble. And anybody who thinks there's a housing bubble doesn't understand what a housing bubble is all about. When you have a housing bubble, there's a couple things that have to be taking place, and that is excess lending has to be one of the major things. And despite rising supply, there's still people running out to buy houses. You don't have that today. You don't have excess leverage. There's not easy to get a mortgage. I've had clients just recently go to get a mortgage. There are more than enough money in the bank to pay for the dang house in cash, and yet the bank is just taking them through the ringers to get that mortgage approved. They're never lending. You rarely see them lend more than 80% loan to value. Whereas back in 2006, 2007, 100% loan to value was an easy thing to get. I saw it too many times. And the supply of houses is nowhere where it should be in the United States today. It's one of the problems that we have with inflation is that the supply of houses is just low. And you get these crazy planning and zoning departments that don't want anybody to build anything. And if you do try to build it, it costs you a fortune to go through all the rules and regulations that they want you to go through to build. You know, so, instead of building a couple million units a year, they're barely building a million units a year, 1.7 million a year. And, during certain periods of times over the last 10 years, I don't even think they built 500,000 units a year. So anybody who thinks there's a housing bubble doesn't understand what a bubble is. These prices are real. They've moved up. They've moved up because there is real people wanting to buy. And let me explain to you why the house prices are going like this, okay? So you had low construction new homes over the last 10 to 15 years, okay? Since 2007, it's declined dramatically. It just started to come up in the last few years. So you had a dramatic decline. But then within the last 3 or 4 years, all those people that bought houses in 2006, 2007, 2008 during the real bubble, they finally got back to even. That if they sell their house, they'll get what they put into it. They won't have to put up any cash to get out of it. And because of that, those people are now rotating into new homes. And as that starts to happen, that's what's causing the house prices to escalate. It's not a bubble. It's a real supply and demand issue right now. Anyway, we have anybody online, or else we should tell everyone we're going on a pause in about 35, 40 seconds. We're on an open show today, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask a question.
And we do have Rebecca from Pennsylvania. I don't know if you want to take her now or after.
I think we're going to have to wait until after the break, but let's see if we can, you know, encourage somebody else. So we're going to get to Rebecca. She'll be first up after we come back. But I just want to let you know we're on an open show tonight. Hopefully you'll call in, 410-922-6680, and direct the conversation tonight. Be right back. Money, riches, and wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli, and I have a question for you. Is your financial advisor a doctor of personal financial advice? Do you get strategies to reduce taxation, Social Security, Medicare advice, sophisticated retirement planning, investment allocation strategies, estate planning, or help with any issue of money? It is time you do a financial physical with me and my team at the consulate and experience the difference. You hear the depth of knowledge we have about personal finance, so do a financial physical and you'll experience what we believe an advisor should do for you. They should be independent, experienced, credentialed, fee-only, comprehensive fiduciaries. They should be a doctor of personal finance and not salespeople selling you products. Set up an introductory meeting by calling 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or go online, financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. It's time you experience the difference.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show tonight. 410-922-6680 is the way to call in and ask a question. We do have a couple people online. But I also want to remind you that I wrote a book recently. It's called The Financial Physical, after the trademark name of our company service. And the book has helpful hints on financial planning, investments, and psychology of money at the end of each chapter. There's 10 chapters, so it's 30 different principles of money management and personal finance that is beneficial. And also, it just talks about the progression of how my career went and why I think everybody ought to understand what this industry is about, how it operates, and why you should demand so much more from your financial advisor. So I hope you'll go out to Amazon, and we priced it to sell, $5.99 for a paperback or $2.99 for Kindle. So please go out there and get that. And we're going to go to our callers now. Rebecca's up.
That's right, Rebecca. Thanks for your patience. What can we do for you tonight?
You're going to break a tie. I don't know how the Orioles did tonight, but you're going to break a tie for me, okay? Because
okay.
I have a trust fund, and I am the last beneficiary and the trustee of the trust fund, okay? And I thought that if I took money out of the trust fund, that would be earned income, and that would be something I would be taxed on. And that's what my tax person said. I would have to, it would generate a K-1 tax form.
Okay? The answer to that is far more complicated than you just made it out to be.
I'm sorry.
The answer is that, yes, it could generate taxable income to you, but it also couldn't. You know, it just depends on how the trust is written. And do you always get income out of the trust every year?
No, I haven't touched it because I have enough. I have enough fun with the IRS. Let sleeping dogs lie. That's what I say.
But there, you know. Again, it all comes down to how the trust is written, the language in that trust. There could be one single sentence in that trust that could dramatically change the taxation of that trust. That's how complicated trust taxation is. But here's the problem, Rebecca. If you're not taking the money that's generated in that trust, there's a high probability you're letting the federal government take a lot more tax money from you than what you probably should be paying. So in other words, if I have a choice between giving it to the beneficiary to pay taxes on it or giving it to trust to pay taxes on it, I'm always going to give it to the beneficiary because you, Rebecca, do not hit the 37% tax bracket until your income hits somewhere around $300,000 or so. The trust hits the 37% tax bracket and the 23.8% capital gains rate bracket when there's just $12,000 of income in that trust. So I'm always going to want that income to go out to you, not to stay in the trust and the trust to pay taxes on it. But there's also, depending on how that trust is worded, will determine on whether the capital gains will go out to you or whether the interest and dividends will go out to you if you take money. And, but if the trust generates income, it doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be taxable income just because you took money out of the trust. The trust actually has to earn it before it's delivered to you, and then it's minus any expenses that are unique to a trust. So that's how complicated it is. I wish I could just say, Rebecca, it just happens like this, you know.
Okay, but it sounds like I got information, like you're correct. The guy in charge of the trust is correct, and my tax person is correct. I guess that's what you're telling me, right? I mean, they've given me all
I'm saying taxes. That it's sort of true, but if they're not encouraging you to take the income and pay taxes on it, I would be wondering what the heck they're really doing, you know?
No, they've all told me to take money out of it, but I just didn't want to do it.
I'm telling you that you definitely want to take the money every year and pay the taxes on it. You don't want that trust paying taxes on it. You're probably increasing the tax rate by twofold, possibly.
Oh, wow.
I mean, how much money is in the trust? Is it over $1 million or is it under $1 million?
No, it's under $1 million. It's like $500,000.
Yeah, so you're probably pushing the tax rate up far higher than what it would have been, what it would be for you. And
yeah,
that's
like
why you probably ought to take it. What's that?
It's like 37% I'm paying taxes on, because this year I didn't pay a whole lot because it didn't do so good, but the other years I paid like $6,000 and stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sure you're not paying that, you know?
No, I am. I was paying it personally because I didn't want to touch the trust. I didn't take any.
Oh, well, you can't do that. You know, technically you shouldn't be doing that.
That's good. That's good information. All right. Okay. Fine.
But again, it all depends on what the wording of that trust is. You know, that's the key principles is what's the wording in that document. So anyway, good question, Rebecca. Trust
right,
taxation is very.
Tonight, I guess, huh?
Right. All right. Let's go to Jeffrey.
Thanks, Rebecca. Jeffrey, what can we do for you tonight?
Is Oops. Jeffrey still there?
Guess not. So
let's
next
go to Tim.
That's right. Sure. Tim in Baltimore. What's on your mind tonight?
Hi.
Hey, Tim.
Drew, I called you last week and I needed your help and you would coming into some money in a couple of weeks.
And, okay.
I wanted to do possibly one of those online accounts that you talk about all the time to get some interest, because for years I haven't been. So anyway, but I'm not really, you know, computer savvy. So you suggested I go to the bank and tell them my situation and if there was anything they could do for me. So I wanted to report back to you what happened.
Yeah, what happened?
I called the bank and I first asked, told them I'd like to, if they could do anything for me in the way of interest, and they checked my account, and they told me no, they couldn't help me. But we were only talking about a little bit over $20,000. But when I told them the amount that I had coming in, then all of a sudden they said they could possibly help me. So I'm meeting them tomorrow.
You know, I would just get rid of them. You're dealing with the evil empire, right, PNC?
That's right. You remembered. Very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, but just think of how disgusting that statement was. You're just a little guy, Tim. You're just a little guy. I'm not going to do anything for you. Screw you. 0.01%. Oh, you've got 200 more thousand? Well, come on in, Tim. We'll do something for you. I mean, I just despise that bank with a passion. Did you get that impression?
Yes, absolutely.
But think about that. That's the company you're dealing with. Why are you dealing with them? You know?
Good point. Good point.
You know, actually, you know, FNB, are you, you know, the old Howard Bank, FNB? You know, they seem to be a pretty reasonable bank. They're actually paying some interest on their checking account, you know? So I would talk to them.
Started dealing with them. Maybe I'll check with them.
Yeah. Get rid of the evil empire, you know?
Thanks for everything, Drew. You're the best. Take care.
All right. Take care, Tim. Good question. Very good.
Thanks for the update, Tim.
We got we're on open show, Leo. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. If you have a question, want to lead us. All right, let's go.
That's right. Now we've got Lee in Towson. Lee, what's up?
Hey, what's up? I got a couple pieces of land out in the West. I have to pay taxes every year on them. When it comes time to sell, is there any way that tax can be added to the basis, or is there any benefit due to the taxes?
What kind of land is it? Is it a lot of land?
No, like 3 acres, 2 pieces. One's 3 and one's 5 acres.
Yeah. No, unfortunately, the taxes that you pay on it don't increase the basis at all, unfortunately.
No benefit then?
No benefit. It's just government taking your money from you for for some purpose. I'm sure they'll do some good with it there, Lee. Don't you agree?
Well, probably better than some states, I guess.
But you do get an increase in basis if you do something to the property. You know, if you go out there and put a fence on it, or you, do some kind of improvement. Things of that sort. You know, there are things you can do to get bases on there, but normally it's going to require spending money.
Yeah, right. Okay. I was just afraid that the answer would be nothing. Anyway, now I know the truth.
All right, buddy. Good question. We're on an open show tonight, Leo. We've got to have John to hold on, because we're coming up on a hard break at 6:29. If you want to get online, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask a question. John's the only one online, so there's at least two or three lines open, right, Leo?
That's right.
Yeah, so 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and get on.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here on an open show. You, the listener, are a guest. You get to determine the direction of the conversation. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask a question. We do have a couple people online. There's still at least three or four lines open. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in. I just want to remind you that I wrote a book called The Financial Physical after a trademark service of our company. You can get it on Amazon, and we priced it to sell $5.99, and it'll tell you about my career and why I believe wholeheartedly in the independent fee-only comprehensive advisory approach, not working with brokerage firms, not working with insurance companies, not working with banks for your financial planning, but looking for completely independent, fee-only, comprehensive advisors that are also a fiduciary at all times. And I feel that there's a good reason why this is the best approach for you and get the most out of the money that you pay. Most people don't realize that you pay a broker to do investments for you. They don't give you any advice on taxes, estate planning, et cetera, et cetera. And they make as much money as you would pay a fee-only advisor. So 410-922-6680 is the way to call into the show. Let's go to John.
That's right. John, thanks for your patience. What can we do for you tonight?
Hi, I was just wondering, I'm just recently retired and disabled a couple of years ago, and I've got about $40,000 or $50,000 in the bank, and I'm wondering if that's where I should leave it. I'm thinking of buying a home, but I'm waiting for the prices to come down.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you're leaving it in a bank that's paying you a reasonable interest rate, like 3.5% to 4.5%, then you leave it in the bank. But if you're dealing with a bank that's not paying you a reasonable interest rate, you need to go find a bank that will pay you a reasonable interest rate on your money. And so online banks are the easiest way to do that. Do you do much with computers?
A little. My son's an expert, so he can help me. But
yeah, so you just get your son to help you go online and get an online bank like Ally Bank or Marcus Bank or My Savings Direct, or, you know, he can help you just get a online savings and link it up to your checking account. And then what you do is anytime you want money, you know, you have too much in your checking account, you move it to your online savings account. Anytime you have too much in the online savings and you need it to come back to your checking to pay for something, you move it back to your checking account. And it's relatively simple, and you make, you know, you make so much more money. They're paying you nothing on your money. And you heard what Tim said earlier, right? He goes
right
into the bank and they say, "You're a peon. You're $20,000. We're not going to do anything for you." "Oh, wait a minute. You have hundreds of thousands now. Well, maybe we can do something for you." Well, you know, John, you don't need that kind of stuff. Online bank, if you have a $500 or $5 million, it's the same rate of return.
So why do the banks treat you differently?
Well, not all banks do. It's only these local brick-and-mortar banks that treat you differently. It's
right.
Only the Bank of America's, M&T, PNC, Wells Fargo. These are the kind of banks that treat you like that because they make too much money on people just sitting on their money in their savings account, earning nothing, and
right,
not, you know, and the inertia of, as long as you're willing to do it, they're going to take advantage of you. That's all I can say.
Right. Mine's in Wells Fargo now.
Yeah, you need to get it out of there, you know. Keep their checking account. Just keep what you need, a little buffer in the checking account. Everything else goes to an online savings account. It's the same insurance, FDIC. You know, it's FDIC insurance. And, you know, look, Wells Fargo had their own problems. They're lucky they survived their mess that they made. So, you know, FDIC is what you're looking for your safety and security. And you get that from an online savings account, just like you get it from Wells Fargo and a brick-and-mortar bank. All right, John?
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I enjoy your show.
Well, I appreciate you listening. Thanks. You, John.
Thanks, John. Let's,
who's up next there, Leo?
We've got Lorraine in Baltimore. Lorraine, what's got you thinking tonight?
Hi, good evening, guys. How are you? Actually,
good.
John asked the same question that I was going to ask. With about $50,000, what would you suggest? And the online banking is what you suggested. So.
Yeah, online banking, another option for people who maybe don't want an online bank, but, you know, you could go to Schwab or Vanguard or Fidelity. And you could say, "Hey, I want to buy a U.S. Treasury money market fund." Now, hear me. I said United States Treasury money market fund. And your money is guaranteed by the United States government unconditionally. It's not FDIC now. It's the unconditional guarantee of the U.S. government. And right now, these U.S. Treasury money market funds are yielding about 4.5% to 5% at this moment in time. So that's another option you can have as opposed to an online savings account. But either one would be a great option if you don't want a lot of risk and you want to earn some good money on your money.
So are you saying that the online banking has some risk?
Well, the online bank is insured by the FDIC. the FDIC is guaranteed by the United States government. Okay.
Right.
The money market fund is the United States Treasury money market fund, so it's a direct guarantee obligation of the United States government. So which is riskier? I don't think there's a lot of difference between the two. The only difference is one's direct and one's indirect.
Okay. One more quick question. I know you mentioned a couple online bankings, but I wasn't able to hear you. Could you recommend them again?
My Savings Direct, Marcus Bank, Ally Bank, ALLY. Those are three that are very commonly used. Capital One 360 is another one. So and those are your good options. And then the United States Treasury, you would do that through Fidelity or Schwab.
Right.
All right?
Thank you so much. Yeah.
All right, Larry.
Okay,
good,
bye-bye.
Good question. You know, and the other thing, Leah, they're not paying commissions to anybody. They're not paying commissions to brokers or anyone to get these things. You go to Schwab and Fidelity, buy that U.S. Treasury, nobody's charging any fees or commissions or anything. You know, Schwab makes a little bit of money behind the scenes managing that money market, but it's not overwhelming.
That's
anyway,
right.
We're on an open show, Leo, 410-922-6680. We're going to go to Ray now.
We're actually going to go to Jeff in Baltimore first.
Oh, go to Jeff in Baltimore first.
Jeff, what's going on tonight?
Yes, hello. I have two important thank you, first of all. I have two important questions. I'm debating what to do. It's a little troubling. I'm 69, been retired 10 years, and I've got a little bit over $100,000 in my IRA. Recently, I've come across and talked with some people who have actually taken all of their money out of the IRA, completely disassociated with paper currency, and has put it into silver and gold. And I was just wondering what
they're lunatics. They're listening to some ridiculous stuff. And please don't make that same stupid mistake. You know, the United States government is not going down. It's not going down. You know, maybe sometime in the next 100 years or so, something might happen that okay. You could make that. But, you know, if Russia and Argentina are still making good on their payments, despite all the problems they have, there's no way that the United States government and these people foolishly took their money out of the IRA. On $100,000, you would pay over $30,000 in taxes to do that, okay? So you'd only be left with like 70. When you go to buy silver and gold, they're going to charge you a 10% commission to buy raw silver and gold. So now you're down to like $60,000 when you pay all the fees and pay all the taxes and so forth. And it's going to prove to be a foolish investment. I'm not saying gold can't be a part of somebody's portfolio, but normally all intelligent people who talk about this will say gold should be no more than 2 to 5% of anybody's portfolio. And that's about it. And we don't okay. own any at this point in time. There are reasons to own gold. And there are times that gold will make money for people, but over the long term, gold is a foolish investment. And there's nothing happening right now.
If I could, please, one more quick question concerning to that. Can I ask it?
Yeah, go ahead.
I recently heard from the United States Treasury, somebody sent me a little info. This is what it says. 209 central banks received a 17-page package to get ready to use gold-backed new dollar, a new dollar currency that might be implemented soon. Like I say,
it's impossible. You have to understand, do you know the size of the gold market as a whole? I don't know it exactly, but I'd bet you that the whole gold market out there is probably $3 trillion, okay? Let's just use that, $3 trillion. The world currency market is probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $100 trillion. Now, you can't back a gold currency with, you know, even if you owned every ounce of gold on the planet, you can't back a world currency with gold. It is impossible. It is a foolish concept that somebody is exploiting to try to get people to buy gold. And, you know, gold might prove to be a reasonable investment for a year, maybe 2 years, but it'll prove to be a foolish investment in the long term. There are times, now, you know, I said this back in, but if you hold on, I'm going to answer, give you a good reason when you would buy gold.
Yes.
All right, be right back. Money, riches, and wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli, and I have a question for you. Is your financial advisor a doctor of personal financial advice? Do you get strategies to reduce taxation, Social Security, Medicare advice, sophisticated retirement planning, investment allocation strategies, estate planning, or help with any issue of money? It is time you do a financial physical with me and my team at the consulate and experience the difference. You hear the depth of knowledge we have about personal finance, so do a financial physical and you'll experience what we believe an advisor should do for you. They should be independent, experienced, credentialed, fee-only, comprehensive fiduciaries. They should be a doctor of personal finance and not salespeople selling you products. Set up an introductory meeting by calling 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or go online, financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. It's time you experience the difference.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. And I'm going to have to fly through this real quick, Jeff. Let me give you a great example when I said that people ought to buy gold. And it was in 2010, 2011, when the euro and Greece were, you know, Greece was teetering on defaulting and, you know, and so forth. And I said, if I were a financial advisor in Italy or Greece or Portugal, where they don't control their own currency, and you see them, troubled, and they could potentially end up in bankruptcy, and you're not sure if the Eurozone's going to bail them out or not, I would have told those clients to buy gold and hide it somewhere so that if Greece were to default, here's what they would do, because they don't control their own currency. What they would have done is you would have woken up one morning and they would have said, we're no longer on the euro, we're going back to the drachma, and we're going to give you one drachma for one euro in your bank account. Immediately, the drachma would drop in value like a brick, okay? And you would be impoverished immediately when that would have happened. And fortunately, they never did it, but I would have been telling clients that you need it. But you see, you couldn't own financial instruments because they could take those from you too. So you couldn't own any kind of financial instrument. You'd have to own something physical that you could hide from the government to be able to get back, you know, and get euros when you need them. That's a great example. Nothing like that is happening in the United States except for fearmongers who are trying to get people to buy their newsletters or listen to their media outlet or whatever, and they're touting gold as if it's this miracle thing right now, and I don't see any logical reason behind it at this moment in time. If I do, I'll be the first to try to tell you, and I can be wrong. You know, something weird could happen tomorrow. But, you know, Warren Buffett's not lining up gold trucks in his backyard at this point in time. I think you don't need to either. We got to go to Ray real quick in Columbia. That was a great question, though, and I appreciate it there, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. Ray, what can we help you with tonight?
Thanks, gentlemen. First of all, I'd like to say to Drew, thank you for the tip for the online savings. I went from, like, 0.1% to 3.6% at Capital One, and it's like I got money. So
yeah, really, it's the you and I that are taking down the banking system there, yeah, right?
I also got your book. It's great. I'm Chapter 8, and I remember all those events you talk about, the savings and loan crisis, the dot-com bubble, and the Lira loan section, and it was interesting reminiscing about that. I just have a simple question. I want to move money from a thrift savings plan into an IRA. I'm thinking it looks like it's a bad time to do it. You know, the stock keeps going down every time I look.
So you have a 401k somewhere?
Yeah, thrift savings plan.
Thrift savings plan with the United States government?
Yes.
Okay. You know, but you see, you can move that to the IRA and just duplicate the investments at any time you want to, you know, so it doesn't matter whether they're going up and down. There's no timing thing that you're worried about.
Well, what I mean by that is, you know, the value of the the 401k keeps going down.
Yeah, I understand. But, you know, if you're worried about that, you can move it to an IRA, and now your investment options are almost unlimited. You could buy CDs and get 5% on your money right now. You could buy the same funds so that if they do go back up, it'll go back up with it. You know, so there's no reason that you shouldn't roll it over to the IRA. And here's the reasons you wouldn't. Are you still working?
No, I'm retired.
Okay. Are you have any chance of a lawsuit?
Nope.
Okay. And you're not going to use a commission salesperson to do the rollover to the IRA. You're just going to do it to like a Schwab or a Fidelity or Vanguard. Well, there's no reason you shouldn't do it then. You'll have a lot more control, a lot more flexibility, and be able to do anything you want to. And, you know, if you would have had it in the IRA, it would have been going down now too. So there's no big difference. But the IRA opens up so much more opportunity for you.
Well, it went down like 19% last year, and it came up a little bit in January. I thought, oh, well, if it goes up further, I'll have more money to invest. But you just said, regardless, just do it. There's no timing to this.
Yeah, because, you see, the C fund is the same as the total market fund at Schwab or Fidelity or Vanguard, okay? So if you have it in the C fund, just put it in the total market fund with one of them. If you have it in the F fund, just buy an ag bond index with one of them. And everything's duplicated that if the markets go up, the IRA will go up just like the TSP will go up.
Okay, good. All right, I feel self-assured now. Thank you.
All right, you go for it. But make sure you don't pay any commissions to somebody to do that, okay? All right, let's get the last caller here.
That's right. We've got George on the Eastern Shore. George, how can we help you tonight?
Good evening. Listen, I've got sort of a three-part question. I'll give you the details as quick as possible here. I own a condominium in Florida. I'm a Florida resident officially. This past year, I had a $30,000 tax loss on it. And I think I was slightly aware of it at one time, but it passed through as passive, I guess, to be a passive loss. And I think the only way I can get those deductions is if it's an LLC, for instance, the LLC could take those and pass them through.
Passive loss is a passive loss. The only way you can get it is either you liquidate the investment or you get other passive income that the passive losses can offset the passive income.
Okay, I can't do that. So putting it in LLC, then it wouldn't be a active if I'm managing it out of the LLC?
It's active if you're active. You've got to be putting in 750 hours a year, and you've got to be putting in more time than anyone else.
Oh, I see.
And if you do all those kind of things, whether it's in an LLC or your own name, that's what counts to make it active or non-active. Or you could be a real estate professional, and then you get to take it anyway. So, that's the deal, not whether it's in an LLC or not, my friend.
Okay. If it did go to an LLC, which it probably won't now, would it be able to somehow take over the loss that I suffered as an individual this year, the passive loss?
No. You got to, that's accumulated until the future when you sell the property.
And then it goes against any capital gain. Okay.
That's correct.
Okay.
But you should put it in an LLC anyway, just for liability protection, and you should have ample insurance coverage on it because rental real estate is one of the greatest areas to get sued in.
Yeah, I do have that, and I got umbrellas and all that too.
Good.
I'm
out of time.
Oh, okay. I'm
sorry.
No problem.
If you email me, drew@financialconsulate.com, I'll answer any other question you have, okay?
What is the email?
drew@financialconsulate, like an embassy, .com. All right?
Okay.
Take care, George.
Thanks, George.
Thank you. Thank you, George. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
Love, show them. things are gonna be.